Hey everybody, it's the Commodore from the Clan of the Grey Wolf, and you are watching the Weekly Ringer series here on clanofthegreywolf.com. Been a few weeks since I've seen you guys. A lot of things have happened for me. I know the changing of the seasons has officially taken place, which is nice. Enjoying having sun for longer. Enjoying the fact that the weather is changing, and made sure to enjoy it by going to visiting various different parts of the world, or at least the Northeast over the last few weeks. So you'll have to forgive me for that. That is why, I mean, I lost some of the capability that I had to do some mobile weekly ringers, which I think we can all agree were a little bit less quality. So I tried to avoid that this time and just decided, hey, I'll give people a couple weeks to kind of digest. That being said, there was a great question last time that was in fact, I will go ahead and say it. This has been one of the best weekly ringer questions I think I've ever asked. It might be the best. The conversation was awesome. I think there were a couple little touchy points, which I'll get to in just a second. But lo and behold, sometimes, you know, even the blind squirrel gets a nut every once in a while. And sometimes the Commodore actually asks a good question on the Weekly Ringer. This one happened to be one of those folks, and you guys responded in droves. So I want to get into that conversation. This is not going to be a short video for the faint of heart. There's a lot to talk about for the question for last week about, or not last week, but for last time, which was about whether or not there are more better games now than there ever have been in the history of video gaming. So we're gonna delve into that. I'm gonna give you my opinion as I always do, and then I'm gonna ask you guys a question for next week, which is going to focus on some of the mobile platforms, even though everyone right now is talking about all the new HD platforms that we're going to be hearing about over the next coming weeks. So, should be a very exciting time. Good question for next week as well, so stay tuned for that. Now, before I get into the conversation, as I always do here on the Weekly Ringer, I like to welcome the people that have ponied up, put their comments where their thoughts were, and actually talk about and comment on the video and put their voice out there. Several of you mentioned that not only was it your first post, but several of you mentioned that you've been with the show for a very long time. Obviously, I want to make sure that I cover all the people out there that watch and don't comment. You guys are just as important to the show as anyone. As, let me tell you, if I don't have people watching the show, then I'm just going to stop doing it, right? So you guys keep watching. That is what keeps me going. So thank you for all of you. Even if you don't comment, that's okay. We love having you guys out there as well. That being said, got a lot of new commenters to welcome to the party today, and I love a week that does that because I think it tells me that we're asking some good questions that people are interested in talking about. First of all, Rand Rocks. Simple, easy, not difficult to understand. Awesome name. Welcome to you, Rand Rocks. Jack of all games, 16. Is 16 a reference to 16-bit games? Is 16 a reference to age when someone first played a particular game? Who knows? But anyway, the Jack of all games, 16, welcome to you. I, too, consider myself in many ways a Jack of all games and a master at absolutely none of them, I should mention. And for any of you that took a gander at my own capabilities at NHL 94 during the Super Nintendo Marathon back in December, you can attest to the fact that I am not a master of at least hockey games, or at the very least sports games, on console. Also, but anyway, welcome to you, Jack of All Games. I also want to welcome Buddha Chief. Another very simple, straightforward, I don't really know what that means. I'm not going to delve into it. This is not a religious conversation, so I'm going to keep on moving. But welcome to you, Buddha Chief. Dr. Super Caligula. Man, a lot of stuff going on there. Not sure how to read it, but I know I love the comments. There might be, hint, hint, a few, choice words I have for some of the comments that were related by the doctor himself during the rest of the show. Same situation goes with LOL Death Hail. LOL Death Hail. Interesting. I like it. It's good, it's fun, it's quick, it's easy. But also might have a comment appear in the rest of the show. Just goes to show you, folks, you don't have to be a veteran commenter here to make the program for what I consider to be the best, or at least the most concise in terms of messaging comment of the week. It really gets to the heart of the argument. Now, as I also do here on the new and improved Weekly Ringer, is I like to go and talk about some of the undercurrent of ideas that were kind of there for all of the comments, or, you know, were said multiple times that I can't really attribute to a singular person or what have you, just to kind of talk about where the argument went this week. And I want to start out with this one thing, and that is, folks, that we are all friends here, okay? One of the reasons I love this, what has become the Weekly Ringer, certainly what I intended, and it has come to fulfillment, which is why I consider this show a success, even if we don't have thousands of subscribers and so on and so forth. The reason I consider the show a success is because we have an intelligent conversation, even a debate, on a lot of contemporary issues in geek culture, be it video games, be it technology, what have you. And I love that we have an intelligent conversation, and for the most part, we are troll-less. We don't have people here that are, you know, just trying to get a rise out of people and just being, you know, aggravating for no other reason than just to be aggravating. We don't have that. We have a very good community. That being said, I want to make one important, it was requested of me. I agree with this perspective 100%. Some of the comments I think this week may have gotten a little out of hand. This is not a personal thing, guys. Don't take anything that we talk about here personally. It's not about you. It's not about, you know, attacking what you think. And it shouldn't be about that. So if your comments are directed scathingly in direction of someone and not their comment specifically, but toward them, I think that goes over the line, and I'd like to be able to avoid that. So respect everybody. I want to maintain that level of respect on the Weekly Ringer. And as long as we maintain that respect, no one's ever going to have a problem with me. So I think we might have crept over the line a little bit with a few of the comments this week, but and I don't want to you know, harp on this too much, but I think we need to be sure that we're all very civil and we're all very friendly to each other, because after all, folks, this is a community. We started this site to engage and continue to engage with a community of people. That is where you come in. So if we don't have that friendly community, then we're really losing everything. So be careful. That's all I want to say about that. All right. Couple of things that we're going through the arguments for this week. The question really rotated around something that I know Male White Mage brought up. A couple people brought this up. And the idea is, you know, what really constitutes a good game? What really is a good game or a bad game? Because, I mean, if you're going to define how many good games there are as a ratio of how many bad games there were, or the total number of games, you need to define probably both of those things, good and bad, right? I didn't do that on purpose. Besides, that never is the way my questions work. You guys know that, but I just wanted to bring it up. Totally valid point. Completely valid critique. If I was doing this question as a research paper, I'd have no leg to stand on right now, because I'd have to be able to answer to all of you about it. But, you know, that's okay. That's part of the nature of the show. The other thing is, I think we have to define the terms of what a game is and what, you know, constitutes a good video game or a bad video game or, you know, whatever. Is it review scores? Is it, which several of you mentioned, is it, you know, kind of the endearing quality of it? Is it the kind of critical reception of it beyond just scores? You know, is it the endearing legacy? I don't know. There are a lot of different ways to talk about the success of a video game, and I didn't do that on purpose. Here's another thing that kept getting brought up that I think is very important. Games as toys versus games as a pastime that's legitimate for adults to participate in. One thing I think many people missed out on during the course of the conversation was that video games, by and large, during the 80s specifically, and then into the early 90s, this only breaks kind of by the mid to late 90s, video games are by and large considered toys. They're sold in the toy department. They're sold by toy stores. The only way the NES became marketable in America, as all of you know, is because it was sold in the toy section of the toy store. If it was sold in electronics, they never would have sold it. Retailers wouldn't even carry it in the electronics department because they considered it to be for kids and only for kids. That is a framework within which video games have been trying to break free from for the last 20 years, and I think successfully have done so. However, there remain those kinds of biases toward video games, which really sits at the heart of many of the comments that some of you are making. Yes, there are video games that are made for kids and today, but all video games, really, almost all of them, almost every single one of them were made for kids 20 years ago. It's just that that's the way they had to sell them then. They don't have to sell them that way now. Now we have an ESRB. Thank you, Mortal Kombat, you know, for kind of breaking the lines for us to kind of continue on this dialogue so you can have games for adults and it's okay. Therefore, that's there now. So I think, you know, as we look at video games as a whole, there's so many more ways that they can exist. Not just toys, not just a pastime, entertainment, you know, experiences of very, very different kinds, many of which you guys got into this week. Thirdly, or I guess lastly I should say, is what role does hardware play in all this? Several of you asked that question as well. I think it's a very legitimate point. If we're playing on a home console, or we're talking about, you know, in other words, we're talking about comparing console games from this point to this point, or we're comparing PC games from this point to this point, or mobile games from this point, whatever, what have you, we're probably going to get different answers if we limit our answers there. I was really talking more about the totality of video gaming when I asked my question. I was also asking, really, as several of you jumped on, the concept of the question was more about the ratio of good games to the whole total, the whole sum total of video games today. Most of you picked up on that. Those of you that didn't, I apologize, but you know, that's the way the questions go sometimes. That's really what I was trying to get at. I think there might have been some confusion there. I wanted to bring that up first. Okay. That being said, let's jump into the question from last week, which was really, as I say, about are there more better games today as a ratio of the whole totality of video gaming than there has been in the past? Here are the raw numbers from the vote as I have seen them. And by the way, this has been one of the most popular weekly ringers in terms of comments. I think there have only been one or two that have had more comments than this. That tells me we're asking good questions. The no's had 10 votes. Yeses had 12 votes. And the same's had 2 votes. That means that really very, very much dead even between people say that no, games are not better now than they've ever been. There aren't more better games now than there have been. Then there, you know, it's pretty much half and half between the no's and the yeses, with 2 people, you know, kind of in the same, which I think is another great point. And rather than kind of dig into the economics of it, I'll just say that the yeses do win this particular vote. Not that that holds any bearing, and you're going to hear my opinion in a little bit anyway, regardless of what the vote happened to be, but just I thought I'd throw that out there. Let me get things started with Bearded Drew, who said that, you know, new games are mostly derivative. And I think if we're looking strictly at AAA titles, I think that there's a good argument to be made there. But even in that realm, you know, I think it's difficult how we talk about it. The term cookie cutter came up later on. I liked how we got challenged to define cookie cutter, because for me, it means that everything is exactly the same. And I think what you will find is that that is something that people try to avoid, developers try to avoid wholesale. Even when they're creating sequels, even when they're creating direct or even remakes of games, the thing that they're trying to avoid is the cookie cutter approach. And I think they do it remarkably successfully. However, that is not what Bearded Drew is talking about. It's talking more about derivative nature of video games. Now, I think you could argue that, as several people do during this week, that the nature of the derivative nature of games today is what makes them good. And then you'd have a lot of people, I think probably more people, that argue the derivative nature of games today is what makes them bad, or what makes them less, I guess, innovative, or what makes them less interesting than, say, the creative and wonderful games of the past. I'm amenable to this position. I think it's good. I like it. But I think it might be flawed. But rather than jump into that, I'm going to keep going to the comments and try to summarize when I get to the bottom. Carrara 2 talked about the renaissance of indie and crowdfunded games. I wholeheartedly 100% agree with this. The idea is that today there really is, and I've used this term before, even on the Echo Screen Live, so on and so forth, here in the Weekly Ringer. The fact of the matter is that there is a renaissance of indie gaming going on. The strategy is different. Most game developers 20 years ago were trying to get on with a developer that was established, or one that was being backed significantly by a publisher, a traditional publisher relationship. What the thought was is you go out, you make the games that everybody else wants you to make, and then if you have a really awesome idea and they don't give you an opportunity, you split off and you make your own games, which was still risky and still tough to do, but was possible because you built a name building games at another studio. That really isn't the case anymore. You find a lot of people with a tremendous ambition. I can say this as I've taught at the college level in games development. I can tell you right now that when I talk to games students today, their ambition is to jump out and make their own game. Several of them do want to work for traditional publishers or traditional developers or traditional marketers or what have you, but most of them are looking for a way to express their creativity in their own game and believe, and I think rightly so, that they are uniquely positioned today to do that than they've ever been at any point in history. I think it's true. So that whole crowdfunded nature of things has changed everything. You know, that's, and I, by the way, I just mixed terms up. The indie conversation that I just had is one thing. The crowdfunded thing is a whole nother conversation. Think about the games that are getting made right now that never would have been made 20 years ago because there's the traditional developers and traditional publishers never knew that there was even a demand for them. Well, there is a demand, and now they can reach these people. The internet's changed that. So now if everyone goes out there and says, hey, I really, really, really want... another Dig Dug or something. I don't know. You get out there and say, you know, all of a sudden you have 1,000 people that say, we want Dig Dug and we're willing to donate money to get it. Ears start to perk up a little bit. Then all of a sudden you get 1,000,000 people and now you got a seller, right? And we're seeing those kinds of things happen through crowdfunding that we've never seen in the past. The Beer Ninja talked about the fact that technology is a factor here. So while video games are not defined exclusively by technology, let's make that caveat, because good graphics don't mean good games. Good engines don't make good games. But the fact of the matter is, newer games seem much more engrossing, much more immersive than the older games did, simply by the fact that they are more immersive in nature. They do bring us into a different kind of world than those games were able to do. You might argue that they're less imaginative in that regard because they don't let you, as the player, kind of imagine what's happening as much. They take that away from you, as it were. That's a perfectly legitimate thing to say. I don't necessarily disagree with it. I just think that what is undeniable is that better technology is available to more people than has ever happened in the history of video gaming. If you look back even to the classics like Peter Molyneux, you know, when he goes to make Populous, he has to code his own game. He has to start from scratch and program his own game. You don't have to do that anymore. Now what you do is you have an idea. There are designers, there are programmers, there are marketers, there are artists, right? And all these people come together to make a concept. Now, you might be good at three of those things and not one, but that's okay because, you know, the guys at Epic Games have made the Unreal Engine, and you can even get most of the versions that have happened to this point for free right now on the internet and go and use it in your game. That's awesome. So, we can't take technology out of the equation either. I agree with that 100%. Youngblood talked about the role of media hype. And I loved this comment. I thought that was fantastic. This really made me think on a much deeper level about what my opinion was. Here's why. Folks, I am now a part of the video game media. As the Clan of the Grey Wolf, we are now a part of that conversation. But at one point in time, all that we had, there was no internet, right? All we had to learn about in terms of video gaming came from magazines, came from the chatter from our friends who probably got their information from magazines, right? Or the actual games themselves, or, you know, trade shows, right? I mean, that was it, really. So now we live in this constant, you know, bubble of information, where information is constantly going back, forth, toward, back, wherever, all over. And we're all just completely immersed by it. It's hard to get away from it. That means that by the time a game comes out, for example, BioShock Infinite that I just purchased, I've known about that game for the better part of 2 years now and have been dying to play it. That is hype. That's media hype. If that media hype isn't there, how does that affect the conversation that we're having right now? In other words, you know, if media hype is gone, are there as many good games or bad games? I don't know. It's a great question to ask. I'm not sure how it plays out. I think you could make an argument either way, that video games are better off without a media swarming it. But I think you could also make the argument that we need it. It's what propagates the good things that are happening in the industry, as well as some of the bad around the world, right? And keeps people interested in playing video games, and probably is what will end up being one of the key legitimizers of the medium as an artistic one. But a great point nonetheless. The male white mage talked about the fact that, hey, look, we got to define a good game, and the reason we got to do that is because it's really kind of a moving target. You know, perception is reality here, and the fact of the matter is that as Male White Mage pointed out, if you go back to some of the games that people put as their absolute favorites of all time and why gaming was so much better back then, they had terrible review scores. They were perceived terribly by the gaming public, so on and so forth. And maybe that perception has changed over time, no question about it, but we start to ask a question: what really designates a good game? What makes a game good? And if we change that definition at any particular point in time, then the whole of reality changes with it. This entire question changes as a result. So, but I would say also that me asking this is not necessarily confined to that particular definition or to any particular definition. I'm simply asking the question of, are there more good games now than there have been in the past? It doesn't matter necessarily how you define good games, and we could argue about the finite nature of the different ways to take that question anytime over a beer, but you don't have to answer that, I think, to be able to put out an answer of what, you know, are more games better now than there have been in the past. Maze brought up, in this one particular sentence that she brought up that I just thought was awesome, and I have to repeat it. I'm not quoting here. I'm just gonna kind of paraphrase. But the unplayable junk of the past is gone. I think by and large, I agree with that wholeheartedly. There are some really bad mobile games that are just not good that get made for some reason just as a money grab. But by and large, Maze is absolutely 100% correct. Folks, do yourself a favor and jump back even to the PS1. To the Super Nintendo, to the NES, and just laugh out loud as you see the horrible, horrible games that are absolutely almost unplayable because they're so bad. I'm not saying that there aren't trashy, terrible games that are made today. There are, absolutely. However, I think what we will see is that there's not the same kind of junk. So at the very least, the bottom of the barrel, horrible, crappy games, you know, Superman 64, you know, what was that crappy game we played during the SNES marathon? Something's Kids, Lester the Unlikely, which actually wasn't, I wouldn't consider that to be so, so horrible. Like, it's actually playable. You could play it and become good at it, even though it makes it very difficult to do so. The fact of the matter is those crappy games really don't get made anymore. They're really not around. And what you have are a much higher standard, I think. And I think that definitely affects the conversation. DTX180 talks about technology mattering to a different level. So let's talk about PC. Let's talk about console. I think you'd probably get different answers if you focused on either. If you talked about PC games now, then maybe it's better. Maybe it's worse. Maybe it's the same. About consoles, you might get a completely different answer. Consoles have changed tremendously. The PC gaming market really hasn't changed all that much in terms of the hardware. In terms of the audience, I think it probably hasn't changed that much. But in terms of implementation, it's changed tremendously. So you're going to get different answers. And in a world where each and every AAA title is published for like three different systems, whether it be the three consoles or two consoles and PC or whatever, you know, it's impossible to ignore that fact. I think it's a good point. I think it's legitimate. And I think, you know, I'm not sure I would agree with DTX 180's metrics, that the answer is fundamentally different. But I, again, am looking at the scope of everything, PC and consoles included. Folks, every once in a while, somebody makes a comment that basically perfectly summarizes exactly what I'm thinking about a particular subject. And I don't have to go far for this one, because I guess it shouldn't be all that unexpected. But proof, again, that even the blind squirrel catches a nut every once in a while. Mark P. Chan, the very artistic director of the Clan of the Grey Wolf, his comment about there, really summarizing, there's more creativity in more places, more locations, not just physical, but you see what I'm saying, spatially, different layers of abstraction. There's more creativity in more places in video gaming than there has ever been in history. And I 100% completely agree with that. I think every comment he made in that post was something I just went, that's exactly how I feel. That's exactly right. And this is good. It probably gives away what my overall feeling is going to be, but I won't spoil that for you. I'll just tell you that I think you should read it, because I think it is very important. There are so many different creative avenues that people can take these days that were either not available at all or were only in a small way available in the past. Those barriers are largely broken. Doesn't mean all those games get made. Doesn't mean all those games are good. But it certainly means those barriers are gone and that creativity is kind of out there. And you see people pushing the envelope of what it means to have a very, very good game, I think, on consoles and beyond. And while, you know, you might strain sometimes to think beyond FPS and RPGs that are ridiculously popular or ridiculously good, folks, you know, I think Mark Chan comes out and just nails it. So I'm not even going to steal his thunder. Dr. Super Caligula also had a sentence that bears repeating, and I have to tell it to you now, and I think it's absolutely phenomenal. Modern games make me wonder. Some modern games make me wonder how I played some of the older games without becoming completely and totally frustrated. Well, if you didn't become completely and totally frustrated, you are a better man than I, Dr. Caligula. However, I agree with this. You know, I think it's difficult to compare, the essence of Skyrim, for example, and compare that on down the line to the earlier versions of the Elder Scrolls. Some of the Elder Scrolls games, which were very, very good, by the way, I would never be able to pick up again because Skyrim is so good. It distills all the goodness from that stuff, and it puts it into a completely new world and a vast, expansive place for me to explore and be immersed in. And that, to me, is exactly why I wouldn't go play that again. If I went and played it, I'd be horribly frustrated. Why the hell can't I do XYZ, which I can do in Skyrim? Why can't I do it in this game? That's the whole point. I think that happens more often than not. I think those rose-colored glasses of nostalgia, which all of us wear from time to time, get in the way of our understanding of what games used to be like and what they are now. Because if we look back, I think a lot of those games that we were looking at that we think were really great really weren't that great. Lol Deathhail says, and this follows the same vein of thought as Mark Chan, there's really better development talent out there now. Better producers, better artists, better technology, better game makers and producers than there has ever been in history. I agree with that. In fact, I think it's actually a matter of fact, right? There are more talented people out there trying to make video games now. It doesn't mean that there are more better, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean better games are being produced. Don't let me lead you to believe that. I simply think it is a matter of fact that there are better game developers and that there are more of them all over the world, which is another interesting point to make, than there ever has been in history. People all over the world now are becoming interested in video games and making video games, and they're damn good at it. And I think that's awesome. So if I haven't made my opinion overtly clear to this point, then I will attempt to do so at this moment right now. I think I have a lot of sympathy for the fact that things are exactly the same. That as a, you know, the same amount of crap is out there today as there was 20 years ago, the same amount of goodness, good games are here that there were 20 years ago, and the same amount of, is around today as there was 20 years ago. I am very open to that fact. I think that's a completely defensible position. But I racked my brain about this, folks. I thought about this for the better part of, 3 weeks? 4 weeks? And I cannot make a defensible position for the fact that games were better at any moment, that the world of video gaming was better at any moment than right now. I can't do it. You know, coming out of PAX, seeing all the hype around the new system, seeing some of the things that their capabilities are going to offer us, seeing the renaissance and the simplicity, the innocence, really, of some of the indie developers that are out there right now developing for things that are such smaller scale and so much more intelligently implemented than were even possible 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And the fact of the matter is, folks, I think video gaming, undisputably, is at its best moment right now. My favorite video games are not from this moment. Now, maybe that's changing over the course of time. As I said a few times ago, Skyrim is probably up there as one of my favorite games of all time. It's crept into the list over time. But many of my favorite games come from generations old. Absolutely, 100%. But the fact is, you had to wade through a lot of crap to get to those good games back then. And you had really not at all as many sources to go check with to find if a game was good. So when you go to buy, you know, a game for Super Nintendo, you just kind of be in the store and you'd see the packaging and kind of go, okay, well, I think I might have read something about this in Nintendo Power or in GamePro. You know, what should I do? That was really it. There wasn't now where you can go in YouTube, you can watch a game get played. You can go read someone's review that's done 20 years later. You can read someone's walkthrough they made 20 years later. And I think if we look back at the totality of gaming, even with a lot of the crap that's on a lot of the mobile platforms, guys, I'm not discounting that from this conversation. Most of the crap that gets made now, for my money, is on mobile. Another conversation. But you take all that crap, even with the conversation, you bring it all in. And what I think you're going to find is that it's just undisputable. Video gaming is better now than it ever has been in the past. And I will leave you with this thought. I currently have so many games that I either own and have no time to play, or want to buy and want to own and have no time to play at this moment than I've ever had in my life. I'm not saying that's because I'm older and blah, blah, blah. I'm not making a point about any of that. What I'm saying is all those games are worthy of my attention. If someone comes up to you and says, Dishonored, Assassin's Creed 3, Bioshock Infinite, you know, and then we'll stretch back a little bit, Borderlands 2, right? I mean, the list goes on and on. And that doesn't even get into some of the indie games that I'd love to be playing right now, and some of the classics that are out there that I'd still like to be able to play. Folks, all those games I just told you came out within a 12-month period. It is my opinion that in the past it would have taken a lot longer for the games industry to produce that many games. And I'm not saying Assassin's Creed 3 is a classic, by the way, but I think most of the rest actually are. And that means, and by the way, Assassin's Creed 3 is still pretty damn good from what I've heard. Maybe it's not the best in the series, but it's a good game. It's solid. It's fun. It's capable. To me, that just makes the point. And I didn't even get into a lot of the others. Halo 4. I mean, the list goes on and on, folks. But the point is, I think it's undeniable that there are more games now, as a ratio of the whole, that are better. Good games. Really good games. Than there have been in history. Go to a game convention, walk around the floor, and tell me different. go talk to some indie developers that are working on some really awesome concepts that you have never heard of before, but hopefully will in the future, and tell me games aren't better now than they have ever been. I just think it's a matter of fact. So, my opinion, I think it's entirely defensible to have a different one. I enjoyed the conversation this week. Hope you guys did as well. And that leads me into the conversation for next week. So, a lot of attention right now is on the new HD consoles that have started coming out with the Wii U and are coming out for Microsoft and PlayStation at the end of this year. We're going to get some product announcements. We're actually going to see, wow, we're actually going to see some freaking hardware. Imagine that. Around the next month or so, month and a half, 2 months. And that is going to define, in many ways, the nature of gaming that we have for the next generation. A lot of focus on those. But let me tell you where there's not a lot of focus right now, I guess because those are kind of distracting. It's like little shiny things. They distract you from it. Is kind of the mobile platforms that are out there right now. And I played NVIDIA Shield while I was at PAX East. I obviously saw some of the new exciting things on 3DS. Obviously, I play a lot of games on my phone as well, which is an additional mobile platform. But thinking about all that led me to the question I want to ask you guys for next week, and it goes a little something like this. Are you looking for a AAA title experience on mobile platforms? And why? So what do I mean by that? By AAA, I mean, you know, the best and biggest games of a console generation being, you know, essentially being able to play those essentially on mobile platforms of any kind. Is that what you want to do? Do you want to be able to have those kinds of experiences in a mobile platform? Yes, no, why not? That's the Weekly Ringer for next week. Simple enough, straightforward enough. If it is, if it isn't, or if you'd just like to let me know what you'd like to see in the Weekly Ringer, you can always get a hold of me at Commodore128@clanofthegreywolf.com or follow me on Twitter @itsthecommodore, all one word. Love to see you guys there. Make any kind of suggestions you'd like to see. I will add them to my stockpile of questions for the Weekly Ringer. And folks, thank you as always for watching. I am the Commodore from the Clan of the Grey Wolf, and there is no reset button.